Hey. Good morning.
Oops. Sadik.
Finishing it. No, we're just getting to the end and we're starting again. You never finish Shara Bechina. You can't finish Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina is a lifetime's event.
Thomas, thank you. Very nice share. What are we going to learn next? Say, what are we going to learn next?
There's no end to this. He said that yesterday. Yesterday he said, even after you've done everything we've spoken about, you wouldn't have started. We said yesterday, just as we finish, as we're finishing off Shara Bechina, it's very important to remember this pickle. When you read what I've drawn your attention to in this gate, Alecha the dot, you need to know. To chelek katan misoidus afochma rabim shetagia lehem al yedei binoscho. It's a very, very small portion of the secrets of the many, many chochmas that will come to you via this bina. Ashe yizgolu leka keshelipcha yitol mipnios. This will come to you when your mind isn't interested in, your vested interests have been purified. V'naf shechot yizdakeh. As you get older and you do more ma'asim tovim and your neshama gets more and more purified. And even, are you listening? Listen, no, this is what you liked right away in the beginning. I'm showing you where he says it. And even if you'll get to the end of the end of the end of every ability you have to be ma'ayin in the bria, and to see the chokhmah of the boira and the chesed of the boira, alecha ledat. Everything that you've attained and understood about the chokhmah of the body and the abilities in this world, everything you'll discover here, you'll go through all your avigdah minashirim and all your perpinkashirim, and you'll go through Shara Bechina and you'll work on it, you'll make this a lifetime's mission. Yeah? And you'll get to the end of your ability to understand the chokhmah of the boyer and the bria, you wouldn't have started. You haven't started yet. Okay, etc. We did that yesterday. Just to remind ourselves and to keep reminding ourselves.
It's what's the point? I know it's not on me to finish it. No, I believe more. I get it. So what? So I'm just like engaged in this academic study of trying to figure out and I'll never figure out.
The definition of an adult is somebody who can do something that a child can't do to an ever increasing degree. To an ever increasing degree. Hakaras HaToyev is fruitless then as well. Because I can do a Koras HaToyev to an never-ending degree. So I start. That's a child. An adult wants to feel a Koras HaToyev. An adult wants to see the Chokhmah of the Boira. And every opportunity that comes his way, because he's made that decision already, the Oreach Toiv will find ways of seeing that, of having a Koras HaToyev. No, this is something else. Yeah, it's doing something. Yeah, that's another answer. I'm giving another answer here. No, I'm responding to the six-year-old who asked that question, not you. Your six-year-old sneaked in here with you this morning. I'm responding to that.
With me alive.
Yeah, he's with us all. He doesn't leave us alone for a second. It's called the XR. No, I'm responding to that question that when you decide And you want to feel what you feel when you see the Chochmah, the Boyer in the world. You're trying to see more and more of Hashem in your life. When you decide that that's something worthwhile, you will start seeing more and more of Hashem in your life. But it's endless. It's a never-ending, it's an ongoing process. Do me a favor, I'm sorry. Do you want to bring me the Kliyok and the Toldos? It's a very important piece to learn. I'm glad you asked the question. Didn't the Gemara share the other day? Somebody also said something. And I said something back to them, and they were horrified. Them, and I showed them it's from Furish. I'll show you now what I mean. Yeah. Baruch asked me, based on what the Chovas HaLevava said, is even when you stretch yourself to the utmost limits of being Boyne and the Bria and seeing the Chochmah of the Boyra, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you wouldn't have started. You wouldn't have scratched the surface. So why bother? There was this question. Again. He asked, why bother? You're never going to get there. You know? So I said, the definition of an adult is somebody who can do something that a child can't do. You know, a child can do it. It's got nothing to do with maturity. The child can say thank you, and saying thank you isn't anything to do with maturity. Because I can train a parrot to say thank you. I can train a child to say thank you. There's nothing to do with a chorus of toif. A child can't have a chorus of toif. A child can't be gracious. A child can't do that. You'll see, when they start getting closer to the mitzvah, some kids in the right environment might start showing signs of a chorus of toif. But it's rare. An adult can have a chorus of toif, yeah? How much? Never ending. Never ending. Okay, so that's just an example. An adult wants to have a relationship with Hashem. Yeah? That's a decision he made. He chose that he wants to have a relationship with Hashem. So he will find ways, more and more ways, to increase and improve his relationship with Hashem to a never-ending degree. It never ends. You'll never get there. That's why you're doing it. That's how I answer this question. But I want to show you something more fascinating here on this question. What's wrong with this one?
It's open for you.
Oh, guys, thank you very much.
I know it by heart.
I really appreciate that. The Kli Yaakov is talking about Esav and Yaakov. When Esav and Yaakov were born,
Chafei.
So you look in the Kli Yaakov there. This is a Moedika thing. Somebody said in the Shia the other day, I'm happy to just be a child. I said, I want to translate that into Torah terminology. I'm happy to just be an Esav. He was like, what are you saying? You're calling an Esav? I said, no, you called yourself an Esav. And I showed him this Kli Yaakov. Have a look at what the Kli Yaakov says. This is life altering. This is what Yeshua Rivera gave on Chinuch. It was called, what do I want to be when I grow up? Where are you going to be when you're big? I don't know. I'm still trying to find out. But, you know, what are you going to do when you're big? Says the Kli Yaakov. Zeya Simon. The Yetzer Rishon Admoini Kuloi. The first one came out all red. Zaya Simon She Yitzayid Haramai Ramotes Oviv. I'm gonna get there. Just 1 second. The next Kli Yaakov, I just want to read this one first. Kederach Hatzvoim Amarim Es Atzman Ketznuim Alderach Shenem Alosim. Okay. The first thing we say about Esav is that he's a Ramai. He is a deceiver, and the biggest deceiving he does is to himself. Watch carefully. The next Kli Yaakov, Vikro Shem Esav. When he was born, he was hairy. What does it mean he was born hairy? What anything it was hairy for? Who cares if he had a beard when he was born or not? I mean, it's an interesting piece of Guinness Book of Records fact, but by the time you have to tell me that. That's a sign that this world is his, that's his world. That's his portion. And he has nothing anymore to do with the next world. What's the difference between somebody who has a chelek in this world and someone who has a chelek in Olam Haba? Manaf kiminiya between Esav and Yaakov. This Esav, when he was born, he had all the kelim agashmim he needed. And When he's born, he has everything to need to fulfill his mission in the world. He has five senses and he has taiva and desire. That's all he needs. He's got a bit of a problem, he's a bit small. Yeah, so he just needs to get a bit bigger. That's what he needs to grow bigger. He needs to get bigger and stronger so that he can use his five senses and his tigers to get as much as he can out of this world. But when he's born, he has everything he needs. Nothing else is going to change. He's just going to get bigger. He's not going to get more because he already has everything he needs. He can eat and drink and all the other actions of the goof, yeah? By the time he's 6 weeks old, he's got everything. That's it. Nothing's going to change. He's going to get bigger and bigger. He can't take the keys of the car. So, you know, he can't fulfill all his tithes because he's a little bit small for that. He'll get bigger. But more he will not get. He's not going to mature. He's not going to grow in a real sense. But the real things a person needs, his seichel, his brain, the emotions, the seichel, that a person doesn't use when he's young, when he's born. Where does this carry on? You lot. Yaakov is born with nothing of what he needs to fulfill his mission in this world. He doesn't have seichel, because that's the most essential thing you need. He doesn't have moach, leiv, seichel. He doesn't have them. He's born a hos. He's born. Adam, ayet pere yivolin. He's a little sus, a little hos. There's no Yetzer Tov, then there's a Yetzer Hara. There's a hos. What happens? Achbobobi yomi mefakeach. It gets to, let's say, bar mitzvah. Slowly starts developing this la'at la'at. He will stay a child forever. He adds nothing to his essence. Nothing, garnished. And a Yaakov only adds to who he is because he can't stay the way he is. Because he has nothing he needs to fulfill his mission in this world. Five senses and taiva don't get you to be a Yaakov. That's not how you fulfill your mission in the world. You have to slowly mature and become an adult. That's the difference between an Esav and a Yaakov. But there's more here. Why has he left it out?
Okay,
because
it's the next
just one second. There's a little piece we need while we're here. It's not really shy, but we'll see. Oh, it says like this. Kachashlemus anafshi, nikne be Yosef, Sofia May, Cheldoi Shaladim. You know when a person makes the major strides, the greatest strides towards Shlemus of his Nefesh? He's at the end of his life. As he gets older and older, the closer he gets to leaving, that's when he starts really, really becoming Sholem. You see that? You see that in great Talmud Chachamim, the older they get, the sharper they get, the more insightful they get, the more Sholem they get. Their goof is almost dysfunctional. And yet they mamush, it's unbelievable. Itof Goldova called Nishmo, the Zikne Talmud Chachamim Moisifim Chochma. What's the Talmud Chochim doing? He's adding more and more Chochma. Aval Yomi Vladoi, Ein Bereshim Klal Minoy Seshleimus Anavshi. When he's born, when you look a little child, there's nothing. You can look as hard as you want. You won't see any of that Shleimus Anavshi. Listen to this. He brings a raya for Olam Haba. If somebody wants to have a raya for Olam Haba, he has the raya. It has to be. There can't be reward for the tzaddikim in this world. You know why? When does he have his main achievements, the greatest achievements of his life? Is the last few moments of his life, years, weeks, months, whatever you want to call it. When he's standing at the gates of death, that's when he has his major achievements. His seichel is getting bigger and bigger. When's he going to get reward for that? When are you going to reward him? The things he does an hour or two before he dies, when are you going to give him reward for that? What's now you're going to give him in this world? What pleasure are you going to give a guy who's leaving this world? What are you going to give him? Another stake? What are you going to give him? What the Arabs think Olam Haba is about? That's going to help him. What does he have to do with all the pleasures of this world? Where is he going to get his reward? It must be, therefore, says the Kliyoko. All the pleasure of this world, you're not to anymore. You're not going to get that guy to get out of bed for a special cup of coffee. The Lord doesn't move him. What pleasure can you give a person like that in this world? What are you going to give him? What does he need in this world? Another Daf Gemara. What does he need? What are you going to give him? Therefore, it must be al kain kochach ata tzarich loyme she yad ha-shleimus or cheses ba'ekav asom. That's why he's not a dinosaur. Mishlom and said, okay, fine. Anyway, that's part of the story. That means there's two types of people in the world. The people that are born with everything they need, their children, and they just get bigger and bigger and bigger children. They peak around about 30 years old, and then it's all just downward. It's all downhill after that. It's just all downhill, yeah? They teeing off from the ladies' tees. They retire and play golf. Yes, you work your whole life to be able to play golf, and then you get to retire, and then you can't even play golf because you just doesn't do it anymore. They spend a lot of money trying to stay young. That's what they do. That's what the world out there is doing. They just absorb the pleasure of this world like a child. They're just childish. They're children. They're adults who are there. You sit in front of a screen and you make no decisions about what you're going to watch. Just whatever comes down the tube, you watch. That's a child. Child, whatever, it's very easy to distract children. Why? Because whatever you put on their radar screen, they grab hold of. An adult doesn't do that. An adult discerns what he wants to do with his time. You know, just lots of examples. But the main characteristic of an adult is he's more and more and more, and he's never gives you up. Why do it? You know why? Because we're trying to get more and more and more and more. And you'll never fulfill even half of what you came in this world to fulfill. So don't get anything. That's the marshal of the Mamaisa, the marshal of the Chofetz Chaim, about the woman. She was selling apples in the shuk on one of these push carts. And some rowdy kids came along and knocked over the wagon. And apples were flying and rolling all over the place. And everyone was grabbing apples. And she was standing there screaming. And it was a Chofetz Chaim came to her, a wise man came to her and said, why are you screaming? Grab whatever you can grab. They're all grabbing, so you grab as well. Cup whatever you can. But there has to be first and foremost, Baruch, a decision. That's what I'm in this world for. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, oh, wow, there's a Hashem. Why did you notice that and somebody else didn't? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu notice the snare? Well, that's all shared on its own. It's sort of desolate. I don't want to go into now. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu notice the snare? Because he had a Mabata MS as well. Why did he notice Jewish people suffering? Why did he notice that? Because he had that perspective. He had an Avos Yisrael, and therefore he saw what he needed to see. He saw Klal Yisrael burning and burning. That's what he saw in the snare. He saw Klal Yisrael going through golas after golas, gas chamber after ovens, and they're not getting destroyed. And it was like, wow, how does that happen? Somebody else who didn't have that perspective would walk past and see a bush burning and go by it. All the time. When you're looking for a new car, what do you notice? Cars, every car. When you buy new spectacles, you notice everybody's spectacles. When you're not looking for spectacles, you don't even notice the guy's wearing them. Because what interests you, that's what grabs you. If what interests you is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything about him interests you. You'll never get it all. I've got news for you. You're never even going to get all of Baruch either. Even yourself, you're not going to understand properly. So why bother? Well, because it's very, very pathetic living life, never, ever making strides in the area of being a Yaakov. Like what? take whatever you can. But you have to first know that apples have a value. If apples don't have a value to you, you're not going to bend down and pick them up. It first has to be the decision. We spoke about that when we did a rap, talking a rap, rap. The difference between the two is what decision did you make? You decided you're going to be an ingrate, false, and everything that happens to you is going to fuel your ingratitude. And you decided you want to be a grateful person, then everything in the world happens is going to feed into your desire to be grateful. And you're going to be grateful because every little thing is going to be, well, thank you. Because you made the decision first. There's a moral value. There's a value system that you ascribe to. And then you're going to go after that. That's why we do this. Person wants betochen. So how much betochen can you get? Ever-ending degree. Never enough.
So that starts to seem important because the purpose of all this isn't to understand the sense. I never will. It's like develop a relationship with this. Actually, I keep myself.
The Rambam says, if you will be spoiling in the wondrous bria of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mamele, you'll come to love him. How do you come to Avas Hashem, says the Rambam? Where did we see it? We saw it yesterday. No, he didn't bring the Rambam. I don't know why we saw it. We saw the Rambam yesterday.
Because we said we're
looking
about the trees.
Are we learning it upstairs in Birkat Salonis in Hilchos Tefillah? It all ties in.
It's not,
the Rambam says Aloch in Hilchos Yisrael Torah is Aloch. Then how do you come to Avos Hashem? Well, by learning the Bria, by learning Shara Bechila. You'll come to love Hashem. Amayli says the Hechrach. You'll come to love Hashem. Kinuch says something about Torah. The Rambam also says it in Sefer Mitzvahs. If he's born in the Torah, you'll come to Avos Hashem. Yeah, but I'm never going to understand the whole Torah. You're right. You're never going to understand the whole Torah. So what? It's God learning. When you're sitting down and you're learning the Daf Gemara, there's about 10,000 Svarim in this room screaming for your attention. So why are you stuck with one Rashi? Well, because now I'm learning Rashi. Because this is what I'm doing. Because it's also Torah. And Apostle Gin Chumash and Mishnah and the Shia that I listen to, that's all Torah. And why do I do that? Because I have a base of values that Torah is important. So whatever's Torah, I find important. So I try and couple on. Yeah, but you'll never ever you'll never finish it. Don't start. That's the shows of that Mishnah that you quoted. It's not for you to finish the job. But why not start? You first have to make a decision what's important in life. I mentioned the other day, somebody who loves money will become very, very wealthy. I'm not talking about. Somebody who wants to be a billionaire will never become a billionaire. Because he hasn't made that decision that he wants money. He's made a decision that he wants to become a billionaire. And then when you offer him $10, billion, it's not worth getting out of bed for that. If you step to decide that I love money, then you'll get out of bed for $1. Because it's $1 money, yeah, so then let's get it. And then slowly, you'll become a billionaire. You just want to become a billionaire? You just want to finish Shas? You'll never finish Shas. If you want to learn Torah, then you'll learn. Then eventually, you'll learn. You'll learn, and then you'll know. If you want, you won't. So, Inachinami. If Hashem isn't really that interesting to you and you don't find it fascinating, you're right. Then it's too big. You're not going to do it. But if you value diamonds, then any diamond somebody pinged you is going to be, wow, let me have a look at that. So, wow, that's interesting. You get these guys, they can drive you up the pole with boredom because they're interested in a certain thing that you have no interest in. They're interested in herbs, for example, or botany or whatever. He can talk to you about herbs for 15 hours. You bring him a herb, you bring something new. Wow, he's fascinated. Yeah, you just want to like get buried under the herbs because it's like those guys driving you nuts. Yeah, it depends what you have to know about yourself, what your pleasure, what your interest. Not everyone's going to be interested in the same thing. I said that right at the beginning, we started learning Shara Bechina. Some people will come to find Hashem and his goodness and his chachmah in the stars. Another person will find it in medicine. Another will find it in the plant life. Others will find it in many, many ways. He brought unbelievable examples, but at the tip of the iceberg, the examples he brought, and that's what he said. Okay, let's take one more.
Yeah,
person can say, you know, I can't be the richest guy in the world, so I won't start. It's everything in life.
That's somebody who doesn't love money.
Right. Yeah.
That's somebody who doesn't love money.
I can never make that kind of
no, he wants to be a billionaire. He's never going to be a billionaire. Never. So why bother?
Yeah.
You offer me, you offer me $50 million. Okay. Then I can, yeah, that's getting me closer to being a billionaire. But $5, nah, it's not worth it. A guy loves money. $10 gets him out of bed because he loves money.
The Top Chef. You never do the Top Chef.
An alcoholic never said, no, I don't want to drink because I'm never going to finish all the alcohol in the world. We have to become sikurim for Torah. For shame, for his avoider. The Rambam describes it. The Rambam says it. You go bananas for Avos Hashem. You go mad. You lose your mind. The Rambam says that. But again, it requires the decision that you made before of what's important to you. If you don't have that, then none of this is relevant. I'm glad you came now. We were learning the Tiyoka the other day about Esav and Yaakov, the differences.
Show and tell.
I didn't want you to hear it twice.
I was going to say, show and tell. I'm the Esav.
No, I'm glad you never came. I didn't want you to have to listen to it again because you did it already. We did that Tiyoka, Rebbe.
I asked
the last paragraph.
And by the way, you're... Children are looking at you. By the way, your children are looking at you to see if it's worthwhile becoming an adult. Don't ask them because they won't know what I'm talking about. But intuitively, inside, they're looking and seeing, does this person have more than me that's worth my while, like becoming an adult? Is it worth becoming an adult? The guy who watches his father sitting in front of the screen with a, you know, with a six-pack. You know, he has a look and he says, well, yeah, I want to be an adult because I also want to be able to do what he does. So he just becomes a bigger child because that's what to be there. We hope that our children look at us and see something that they go, wow, that's more. There's something more there. You don't know what it is. You have no idea what it is. I'll just tell you a quick story that illustrates this while we're so off the subject. But you're not off the subject. I'll give you something to do with Shara Bechira that you would never have dreamed of unless you're super fine-tuned adults. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is walking in the street with the Talmud. And as they're walking in the street, out of a shoe shop comes a mother and a father with a new child, with a young child. They just bought his first pair of shoes. Ever seen that? Ever done that? The kid's been walking around for a few months, whatever. You decide he needs a pair of shoes. You take him down to the local shoe store. You put a pair of shoes, but I measures him, whatever. He puts on a pair of shoes, and the kid stands there, and he's wearing lead. He won't lift his foot off the ground. You've done it, everyone's smart. You've done this, right? Everyone that stands there and he's just like, he ain't going nowhere. The kid's been walking around for a good few months. Yeah, he can walk. Not the problem, but he's like glued to the ground. Delicious. Anyway, he starts taking one step, and then eventually he's walking. And the guy tells you, yeah, there are shoes, whatever. You choose the shoes, you pay, you pack them up, and you're busy walking out. And Chaim Shmulevitz sees this. And as they walk out, the Talmud notices there's a tear rolling down his arm, down his cheek. And he thinks, well, you know, he must be remembering a child once, you know, something. He's just having a nostalgic moment here, something about a child, and that's why he's crying. And Chaim Shmulevitz is having nothing of this. And he says to him, you don't see that? I was like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make it clear to you, huh? I was like, not really, no. Don't you see the anxiety, the aspiration, the yearnings, the feelings of a young mother? He just bought a child her first pair of shoes. You don't see that? And he's crying. Now, what does Reb Chaim Shmulevitz say that I don't have? I don't know. But you sense that there's something more there. There's something there that, wow, I wish maybe that's nice to have that kind of sensitivity. I don't have that. I walk past the mother buying a pair of shoes, whatever. I didn't see it. But somebody who's advanced to a very, very, very high level of being in touch with reality. It's also part of Shara Bechina. You don't see the anxiety and the care and the yearning and the striving of a young mother who just bought her. But how that brings him to us, I don't know. But you hear that because it does, there's something more there. He's in touch with something more that we're not in touch with. That's the point. How does that bring him to tears? That's very cute. It's very sweet. It's very nice. Have a lot of nachas. You know, having a lot of nachas. I get that, but I'm crying about that. I do that. I don't know. Because I'm not him and I'm not there. But he is more. There's something more there. You sense that. A child senses that in his parents as well, hopefully. There's something more there. But the child's having a tantrum, and it doesn't faze you one little bit, because he's entitled to have a tantrum. He's welcome to tantrum as much as he wants, up to a certain point. You know, he's upset because his toy got broken. He's very, very upset. Until you have to point out to him, you know, we don't get so upset about broken toys. But if you rush off, start buying him a new toy and trying to fix him and make him feel better, whatever, then he realizes that there's not that much worthwhile being an adult for. Well, you broke your toy, you cry, toys break, so you get upset. But I'm not going to freak out and not be able to absorb your stress. I'm happy to be in the room with you having a tantrum. I don't feel an urgent need to stop you having a tantrum. Unless you're in the McCollets and it's embarrassing, then give him a chocolate. It usually works. That's what chocolates are for. But why am I unable to contain your pain? Why? Because I'm a child. Children can't contain themselves. You never ask a six-month-old baby, why are you crying? I know you need a bottle. It's on its way. Just calm down. No, you don't do that. Why? Because you understand that a six-year-old can't contain itself. Or the kid comes home from school and they had a fight with little Yoni or whatever. So you pick up the phone and you phone them in a helmet or you phone Yoni's mother. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? I'm not talking about where the kid can't handle it himself. The other kid's got a gun, whatever. I'm talking about it. But why are you freaking out? Because your kid's having a tantrum. So he's had a rough day. It's fine today. Life's full of rough days. So you sit him down and say, wow, that's terrible. It's very hard. I know it's very hard getting on with people at school. Come have lunch and whatever. Go play. You send him back to school tomorrow. Why are you phoning Mrs. whatever her name is, Shapiro? Threatening her son, or sending your husband to threaten the father. Why are you doing that? The child realizes, hey, you don't think I'm capable of growing up and being an adult, so he just stays a child. You've never seen that before. Again, it's a shickle. You have to know when the child can and when the child can't. You don't start trailer training a three-week-old baby because, well, you know, time to grow up. The shickle of when you do and when you don't. Well, I'm just giving an example. The child's watching you and saying, is it worthwhile becoming an adult?